This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The images 4 years ago were unforgettable. African Americans cheering, hugging, and crying as Barack Obama became the first black president. The election was hailed as a watershed for race relations. This time around, the celebration was a bit more subdued for many African Americans. As we hear from NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates, their enthusiasm was tempered by what they see as a political climate filled with racial overtones.
Post and Beam was packed. This watering hole in LA's largely black Baldwin Hills neighborhood was crammed on election night, with regulars anxiously watching the fast-changing map of the U.S. turn red and blue. At the Long Bar, entrepreneur James Burks says he can't help but see racial implications in the results.
Race plays a big deal in this country. It is not going to be eradicated just in his term.
The anxiety in the room was palpable. Many people, including Burks, worried that a second Obama term wouldn't happen. It would become the casualty of relentless attack ads by billionaire-funded PACs and other Obama opponents. Then, the moment everyone had been hoping for. It was a sweet end to a campaign that many voters of color, especially African Americans, found bitterly divisive and tinged with race-baited code words. Several cited former New Hampshire Governor John Sununu, who called the president lazy when talking to MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Governor, I want to give you a chance to maybe take it back. Did you really mean to call Barack Obama, the president of the United States, lazy?
Yes.
Sununu was referring to Mr. Obama's lackluster performance in the first debate, but he seemed unaware that lazy is part of a hated negative stereotype, the verbal equivalent of step and fetch it imagery. Sam Fullwood, a fellow at the Center for American Progress, says what he calls subterranean racial referencing popped up a lot in this campaign.
We saw that a great deal with the attacks on welfare and other issues like that by people like Newt Gingrich, who made a really overt effort at interjecting coded racial messages and language into the appeal, but then backing away from it when called on it.
Things perceived as racist, from a congressman calling the president a liar during a joint session of Congress address to candidate Romney chiding him to wait his turn during the second debate, are certainly insulting, but not necessarily racist, says Tulane professor and MSNBC host Melissa Harris Perry.
Those sorts of things could happen, but when they happen, and the president is black, it carries a different meaning.
Both Harris Perry and Fullwood say there could be no mistake about other behavior, such as reports of suppression tactics aimed at black and Latino voters in many parts of the country. Sam Fullwood says these are uncomfortably reminiscent of his North Carolina childhood during the civil rights era.
It is a part of the institutional memory, I think, of people of color, particularly African Americans, when people try to tell them that they can't or should not or will be prevented to vote.
That pushback could partially account for the high turnouts that gave the president his victory. This morning, on the patio of the local Starbucks, a few friends continued to discuss last night's election results. As a motorcycle pulled away, Julian Page, a retired aerospace worker, was unapologetic and blunt when he described what he sees as the GOP's image problem.
I hate to say this, but when you look at the Republican National Convention, it looked like a Klan rally. You look at the Democratic National Convention, it looked like America.
And America, says his friend David Michael Bailey, restored his faith last night when a coalition of races and ethnicities reelected Barack Obama.
I'm in a good place. I have a lot of hope. And as an African-American male who owns his own business, father of four, I feel good today.
Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News.